This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Busted Pencils, yeah. It's us. We're here, Tim, Johnny, rocking the mics and just jamming away.
Rock the mic.
There you are, man, my friend.
Yeah, I'm here, man. I'm here. It's Tuesday. We're chopping it up. You know, we're coming off of an amazing show yesterday. If you didn't get to listen to it, listener, you know, grab it. Grab the episode off the Civic Media website. Mm. And you can grab it off of wherever, Spotify, you know, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast stuff. But yesterday's show was just amazing. We had Dr. Chris Saldana on. You know, we had our friend Heather from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Really great stuff. But man, Dr. Saldana really broke down school finance and specifically for Wisconsin, like how this funding nightmare got to be a nightmare and why it's so whack. So yeah, man, he was just great to have on. I hope we get to have him on again to explain things, because I'll tell you what, man, that guy can explain stuff.
He can explain stuff. And you know where I'd like to have him explain stuff to? Is it the Minocqua Brewing Company. Johnny, you know why? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, Johnny, like you said, yeah, Dr. Saldana, I mean, I'd say right now, go and download this. Give it to your neighbor. Give that episode last night to anybody, because it's a school finance 101 where you go, like, I always hear it's like public schools. It's funded with tax dollars. It's funded with real estate dollars. I don't understand sometimes where I hear schools have too much money. They don't have enough money. How does it all make sense? I mean, Dr. Saldana really laid that out in a way that you'd go, oh, I understand now. I understand why in my real estate taxes, how much the real estate taxes, if I own a house, how much that goes to paying for the public schools. The reality that the state then is supposed to be the guarantor to make up the difference, if there is ever a difference, because the expectations we want from our public schools then set a price tag. And if we don't get to that price tag through the local property taxes, it's the state, it's the law that the state is supposed to fill in the gap between that. And as Dr. Saldana pointed out, man, it is one of those things where you sit down and go, wow, I didn't realize it's so easy. I didn't realize it's so hard. But man, Dr. Saldana is amazing. We got a texter right there. I'm looking at this. Sherry.
Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Sherry. How are you? Thank you for that text. She can jump in. Sherry, did you listen to the show? You're obviously listening now. Johnny, it's Tuesday, though. It's a Busted Pencils trending. I think I understand what that meant.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to hop in and say, you know what, man? All in all, get a grip on that show. Listen to it, because Dr. Saldana, man, he's got a gift. He can communicate stuff. And you know, especially also if you're out there listening and you have really good information and you're like, man, why don't people understand what I'm talking about? Isn't it Dr. Saldana, man? He broke it down. It was like chilling on the porch. It was like hanging out with him and just saying, man, where's the money go? Where's it come from? And did he have it?
He had it, man. And it was perfect the way that worked out, just laying it out there. And you got to understand me giggling right now. If you're watching on the live Facebook, if you're watching on the Twitter, if you're watching on the YouTube, you can see Johnny and Tim doing a little bit of we had a coaching meeting today with producer Anya. She gave us some tips. There she is back there. You're looking at it. She gave us some tips and we're trying out some of those tips. So yeah, if you see what appears to potentially be bad habits that Johnny and I should have been told not to ever do, maybe it's just a communication technique that we've got working right now, because producer Anya, she is the coaching extraordinaire. Johnny, trending education news, though, man, check it out. You know, we talked about the case last week in Montgomery County, Maryland, where parents who were trying to say they have the ability to opt their kids out of gender LGBTQ discussions, the court came back and said, no, 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 you do not have the ability to opt out of lessons dealing with gender sexuality. You as parents, you are in a public school that is, guess what? LGBTQ plus people, they're part of our community. You don't get to opt out of discussions about actually taking, you know, what it is to be a quality neighbor, to take care of your neighbors. Well, now here we go. California district pays $360,000 settlement to a teacher fired over LGBTQ plus policies. This is coming out of K-12 Dive, where we like to go to for education news, Busted Pencils. The physical education teacher claimed that her First Amendment rights were violated when she was terminated for not adhering to gender-affirming policies. A phys ed teacher in California, California's Jurupa Unified School District has agreed to pay $360,000 to settle a wrongful termination lawsuit after public school teacher Jessica Tapia claimed the district violated her First Amendment rights when it fired her for not adhering to gender-affirming school policies. So last week, Montgomery County, Maryland, judge says, yo, you cannot opt out of LGBTQ plus lessons because, sorry, there are neighbors, there are community members. It's a public school. Well, today in California, If you're a teacher and you're saying, look, man, I got students who are saying they want to use the wrong bathroom. Hey, my religious beliefs protect me, Johnny Lupinacci.
Oh, my gosh, Tim. Well, it's trending news, so we'll chop it up. But I'm going to say, come on now. world's tiniest violin playing way off in the distance for that teacher. Abuse of the First Amendment. My First Amendment rights. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, no, and I'm not an expert on this, and Tim, I'm catching this kind of on the fly. I mean, you sent me a little bit of trending news today. We talked a little bit about this when we hung out earlier today, but, you know, I don't know the specifics, so I don't want to get into it. But to me, on the outside, and, you know, like educators talking education.
Nice.
Sounds like the district paid her some money to just go bye-bye.
I tell you what, man. You know,
I'm just saying, in the grand scheme of it, the Maryland thing is really big scale. It's a precedent set that said, hey, this is in consensus around what is the healthy development of all children. This is not an opt-in, opt-out, optional thing. This is how we learn about ourselves and one another and celebrate there's diversity in that. That's just bottom line. Maryland said that, right, in their precedent
set case. Right.
This is more or less somebody saying, it's my individual right to not agree. And you know what? I mean, I don't know what the books look like in California in that district. I don't know what their finances are like, but you know what? Bye-bye. Yeah. So whatever it took to get that teacher who said, my First Amendment right is to go against LGBTQ community safety and inclusion into our schools. Well, then bye-bye. Whatever it takes. We don't need you in schools, especially not in public schools, especially not in California. So I think, like, let's not dwell on the $360K that person got for being bigoted and then using their First Amendment like smoke and mirror show to get out of it. That was probably the quickest, most expedited way to say bye-bye. And now we have no more problems. We're not going to drag this out. We're not going to make this a big deal, because any way you publicize this, right, any way you make this a district issue, it hurts one group in particular, and that's the group who doesn't need to be further harmed. And that's those LGBTQ plus questioning students who we need to say clear message to all students. We care about y'all, and we're going to act swiftly and firmly when it comes down to this.
But is it a First Amendment violation? You say, yeah, okay, the school district in one way. And I tell you what, boy, somebody pay me $360K to go away. Man, I could go.
No, but you would not, your politics cannot be bought for $360K. Sorry, I'm interrupting. But I'm just saying your politics cannot be bought for $360K.
Oh, right.
The LGBTQ community
no.
for money.
You're right. You're right on that. It's just this whole thing. But the idea that, quote, she made the case, and this is a physical education teacher who was saying that during the school day, students who identified as, you know, a different gender than their sexual birth, the birth certificate, their assigned sex on their birth certificate, when they were, and guess what? It comes down to, man, all the time, bathrooms, the bathrooms. She's like, I am not going to let gendered boys go into females and all the back and forth. I'm just not going to do that because that's a violation of my First Amendment. I want this out there, though, for the listener, 855-752-4842. As Johnny points out, it's a horrible ruling in the sense that it kind of says, okay, yeah, you can discriminate and be bigoted against our LGBTQ plus neighbors, our brothers and sisters. But is this a violation of somebody's free speech, First Amendment? The case here is that the teacher is saying her religious beliefs are what command her to be bigoted, and that because she was fired by a school district, her First Amendment rights were violated. And you're sitting there going, well, what was violated, Johnny Lupinacci? I don't understand the violation. I want to put this out there because I hear a lot of people saying, well, you know, free speech, you know, and is this a free speech issue? Does it come down to, is it a religious issue? And so somebody who says, hey, look, it's against my religion. Well, then, oh, so then, okay, it's against your religion. Well, then that's what we got to do. Okay there, mister.
Like you did in.
I know.
To get out of the tests. Let's just crack a little joke. You got out of the, you know, you opted out of the test based on you utilized the UU stance.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a move. But no, you know, Tim, I think sometimes we get into this First Amendment thing and it gets messy and it gets like, you know, like stomping tantrum. And in this case resulted in not a person who doesn't belong in schools, not being in them. And did they get some cash to go their way? They did. But thankfully for that school community, problem gone. Let's move on.
Busted pencils, fully led at education talk. Yeah. Hey, free speech or religious protections. Give us a call, 855-752-4842 when we get back. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, the number is 855-752-4842. If you're an educated educator and you want to talk education, that's what you do. You give us a call, 855-752-4842. California teacher fired for not adhering to LGBTQ plus policies and then awarded $360,000 because, according to the court, that school district violated this teacher's First Amendment rights. Oh, Sherry Minozzi, there we go. Just put up stalls talking about this. You know, the whole idea, Johnny, this always does, seems to get reduced down to a bathroom issue. It's just like, okay, I don't want boys using the girls' bathroom because they've decided that they're girls. And it's always that way, too. It's never, you know, we're not going to let the girls who identify as boys use the men's bathroom. It seems to always go this way here. But we're looking at this, too, to kind of put out this idea is this a First Amendment issue here? Did the school district violate this teacher's First Amendment rights? The teacher is claiming their religion required them to not administer, to not provide the gender-affirming types of care and acknowledgement that the LGBTQ plus community has said is vital to the continuation of feeling included and feeling safe in schools. My religion requires me to be a jerk in school district. You can't fire me for being a jerk. It's my First Amendment to be a jerk. I don't know if that's, maybe that's too much, John Pinot, but that's the question that we're putting out for a listener today. Is this First Amendment, is freedom of, you said freedom of speech, freedom from speech, freedom of religion, freedom from religion. It gets crazy. Johnny, I love how you pointed out though too. Yeah. Okay. How does the religion thing kind of come into play here? And in fact, though, that was the case in Montgomery County in Maryland, though, Johnny, where the judge said, no, your religion doesn't protect you and give you the right to opt out of classroom discussions around gender-affirming LGBTQ+. This judge said, you don't have a religious exemption to opt yourself out. Here, a California judge is saying, oh, teacher, yeah, but you do have a religious right to what your right is, and the school violated your rights there, and so we're going to pay you. I'm putting this out there to ask the question, come on. Well, you said, Johnny, come on. Is this really, am I just trying to make something big out of something that's just like you're saying, Johnny, just let her go, move on, and let's just start teaching the kids the way we're supposed to?
I mean, to me, that's how I would see. What's the path of least resistance, quickest, most expedited way to remove this harmful? You have your right to your beliefs. They might not be what's healthiest for all children, and thus you might not be welcome in a public school, period, right? And so I think, to me, when I hear this or read this, I just say, like, oh, what's the quickest, most, you know, the smoothest way to a bye-bye? Like, we're just going to cut our losses, and it's worth $360K on our books to remove somebody within the immediate means of the law. Remember, I was talking about this before when we had a caller call in and talk about sports and say, you know, what about, you know, biological? And I hate using these terms.
I know.
I really think they're limiting. So the language we're in is really problematic, and it will shift and change as the current generations come through and say, hey, we're not identifying in singularities like male or female. There aren't these strict binaries. And then again, remember, scientific consensus is also telling us there are way more ways to understand identity than simply when you are born, a doctor taking a peek and saying M or F, right? And so we're getting into that, and I look forward to that change. But remember, we talked about our human capacities to have structural support for that change. And I'm not sure that, you know, the law, and I'm not an expert on this, but I'm not sure that the law and that the school district system and the whole process for removing a teacher, and for good reason, right, is required due process. And so I read it and I think, great, the district was like, we can't have this. We will not have this. And what's the fastest, most, like, least controversial way to say goodbye, not welcome in our school, and not welcome because you have a religious belief, not welcome because your religious belief brings harm to our school community. You have every right to have that. They're not like putting this person in jail or saying that they can't be in California, right? They can't have any job. They're just saying your views and your unwillingness to meet what we deem as a healthy education for all children is at odds. You gotta go. And the fastest way to going. And to me, I mean, if you can afford it, that seems like a worthwhile, like, goodbye.
Well, Jim from Appleton texting in, what this comes down to is a simple question. Are we a society or a collection of selfish individuals who think their way is the only way? Yeah, well, Jim, that is this. And so, Johnny, I'm putting this out there too, though, to ask the question of saying, okay, you're right. We are going to continue as a school district to do what's right by LGBTQ plus students, families, the community. So we're moving this teacher along and we're going to find another teacher who is going to adhere. But now, has this created the kind of ability, a precedent for other teachers to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to do this either because it's against my religion. And the reality is that it's not a religious issue. It's truly because you're a frightened bigot. And now you're going to use religion to come forward and say, yeah, I'm going to beat up on some LGBTQ plus students. Well, I'm not going to beat up on them. I'm not, but I'm surely not going to recognize their humanity. I'm not going to do that because my religion, according to my friend, the teacher, the phys ed teacher, her religion was violated. My religion's being violated. And so it sets up a movement of teachers potentially out there saying, okay, yeah, I'm not going to do what's best by students. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm concerned.
I just don't think that teachers are going to do that. I mean, I think like unspoken and unwritten that teachers kind of go into education taking an oath of doing no harm. And so I would say the majority, and like I don't want a blanket statement all, there's always individual cases where I'm going to say this isn't really a good teacher. Mm. But, you know, but by and large, people committed to being good teachers are going to say, hey, let's do what's best for all children. Mm. I've even taught alongside people who outside of the classroom shared their religious discomfort with the kinds of acceptance and inclusion policies and practices we had in our school. That's okay. Mm. I mean, that's for us as grownups to have a conversation about how do we support those students. And I've even seen them come full circle to being like, wow, I was against this because of my beliefs, but now I'm seeing a different side because they're committed to good education for all their children. Man, Tim, let's keep popping this up when we come back. Though after the break, busted pencils.
Ah, yeah, you are. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It is the light. You're walking into it. Johnny Lupinacci, Tim Slegger, producers Jess and Anya. Educated Educators Talking Education, 855-752-4842. California teacher said, it's against my religion to be nice to LGBTQ plus people. You got to pay me $360,000 and I'll walk away. And that's what they did. The governor or the court said, yeah, you violated her First Amendment. Cam from Nina. Cam, what are you saying about this issue? Cam, guys. Where you at? There you are, Cam.
Oh, there we go. Hey, guys. I guess I think that the teacher's argument is in bad faith, clearly. But something that's kind of rubbed me, not the wrong way, but I don't think I've ever had a clear cut answer for, and I'm sure that this might piss off some people to hear, me even like question it, but I think it's an important question that does need to be answered. What I have felt when it comes to any of this LGBT rights stuff, and to be clear, I have always voted for expanding rights and just like all the pro LGBT related stuff. I've always voted in that direction. But I wonder, it's kind of weird, right? Because you got like boomers, for example, that don't want to be supportive of LGBT rights because it's not the norm to them. And we come in and say, hey, you guys need to start accepting this now, whether you like it or not. I don't know how enforceable or how realistic that is, because cultural shifts don't just happen because you say you need to accept this now. And I think that in itself might be a bad argument to make, but I don't think there's any reversing that now.
Cam, no, I mean, right. It's the whole idea. And we'll get to Jim too. Jim texts back in another one from Appleton. But yeah, I mean, you know, we potentially run the risk. It's the old, I'm going to tell you what to do. And I am on the other side of that going, okay, you're going to tell me what I can't do? Well, then I'm going to do it. And so as soon as you say you can't pick on LGBTQ plus kids, community members, somebody's sitting there going, oh yeah, you tell me I can't, I surely can. And then they find another reason. Thing. Cam, thank you for calling. Always love when you put it, you're putting in your participation. Jim from Appleton, follow up. So Dr. Tim, your answer suggests we are a collection of individuals. For a society to function, individuals must be able to set aside their biases. If your religion won't let you accept another human in your chosen occupation, you chose poorly. Jim nails it on the head. The only thing I'm confused about is, was I advocating a crappy person?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, Tim. And I love what Cam brought up because, you know, I was kind of edging on that in before we went into the break. And you know, Cam's offering that this isn't as easy to implement as no brainer as like we all really are on board with. And that's okay. You know, that's hard. And we need the change. We need it now. It's not new. And I have to believe, again, I'm making a lot of assumptions on this, but I have to believe that public schools in California have for a long time now. I mean, since the beginning of my teaching career, and I got some years under my belt,
yeah.
You know, we've been learning best practices and information around including all of our students in the diverse identities, right? And so it has gotten more heated in the last few years as, you know, it's become a political debate when it should be a no-brainer. Mm. But, you know, I think I was kind of offering that example that it is within someone's right to say, hey, I'm uncomfortable with this, but I'm on board because it's what's being presented as the best way to educate these children, now all children, right? And so like, let's learn together how to be better, because I think Cam's point is really good. We don't want to sort of cut off the expertise or throw the baby out with the bathwater per se, because mm-hmm. we may have faculty or staff who are saying, you know, this is not what I learned to be best, and it isn't. Mm-hmm. So how do we bring them into that learning space? Remember, educators, we are lifelong learners. It is okay to say, hey, I thought differently and now I know more. I have the tools and I'm going to do better. And so we do need a balance. We do need to be able to say, and I have to believe that the California schools have done that or are doing that. I have sort of a good faith trust relationship with public schools that is saying like, hey, this isn't new information. We have this. Let's make it available to all of our educators. And let's say, here's where we're going with this. Here's how we're going to support all of our students. You can disagree in your personal life. That's a separation of church and state. But this is how, and I come back to Jim from Appleton, right? This is how, if you choose this profession, this is what we do. And this is not like willy-nilly. This is not with the wind of the current politics. This has been in place for 40, 50, 60 years, right? These are civil rights, issues that aren't, they don't only belong to our LGBTQ plus community. They belong to people with disabilities. They belong to people who are historically and are contemporarily excluded, right, from our school spaces and from a healthy quality education. And so, you know, that's a thing that I have to say here on the back end for listener, those of us who have been in teaching, it's a long time of being invited to a conversation of doing better. And we do need to remember to keep doing that. Like as Cam said, hey, let's really get in here and offer the opportunity for people from a different generation to understand this. I have to believe that teacher was given that opportunity and dug in and said, no, I will not. And they said, bye-bye.
Hey, and there we go. Text from Andrew in Verona. Well, sorry, Cam, that's not how it works. Back in the 60s and 70s, we didn't say, hey, racist old folks, we understand you hate black people. What can we do to help you through this? Okay, right, Johnny, there, you know, so Andrew kind of laying out, and I don't think Cam was truly, truly advocating something like that. Just pointing out, though, that man, yeah, how do you shift the culture? And that could be a real discussion. And again, and Jim, I just want to clear up. I was not on the side of the teacher on this. If I did anything, I've been kind of presenting this to ask the question, is it a teacher's religious, are you protected by religion to be discriminatory? I don't think you are in a public school. You shouldn't be, particularly in a public school. Maybe other places you can maybe make that, but you're in a public school.
Depends on what state you're in too, Tim.
In the state
of Washington, every child is legislatively guaranteed access to an anti-racist education, like Andrew from Verona is saying. So, and that's not just for students. That's any member of the public. So that's if you go to your pharmacy, your pharmacist is required to be trained in anti-racist, interactions in healthcare. And so this is a real move that states, and I know California is on board with this too, that states are making to say, no matter who you are, you are deserving of respect and inclusion anywhere we are in public in this state. And so when they make that statement, that includes schools, that includes the hospital, that includes the pharmacy, the grocery store, restaurants you go into, you cannot discriminate against people, no matter what your freedom of your personal beliefs and choices are. You can't enact them in public places. It's harmful. It's a health risk. It causes all kinds of unnecessary, not only stress, but violence, unjust violence onto groups of our peers. And so this has been legislatively supported in a number of states, not all of our states, right? But in a number of them. So I'm kind of, I understand Cam's thing. I've been there. I've been like, hey, this is the information. Let's all get on board. Let's work together. There can be some dissonance. You can be in your zone of proximal development, some ZPD, because teachers are lifelong learners. You can be uncomfortable with it. But here's what we're going to help you out with. And you know what? In the end, I think you're going to like where this goes, because if you became a teacher and you've taken that oath to do no harm, to support all of your students, no teacher that I've ever met wants to hear that their student who's now grown can come back and say, hey, I felt unsafe in your classroom. And that is legitimately what it comes down to, is we know better now. Lots of students felt unsafe, unserved, and harmed in our schools. We know, we have the knowledge of their experience. We need to make those changes, right? And so those teachers, I would hope, having that information, due diligence, put effort towards supporting all their students.
And that, put it out there, hey, my buddy AI put together some questions in one, though. John, you're talking about this. What are the potential consequences for students when teachers refuse to follow gender-affirming policies? Can this impact the mental and emotional well-being of LGBTQ plus students? You're answering that, Johnny Lupinacci, by saying,
simple answer, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Evidence of this. I mean, we could say, if we go back to Andrew from Verona's, his text, we know that racism is a public health issue, right? So is discrimination against LGBTQ plus community. I mean, it's not just even discrimination, it's actual violence and harm.
Right.
So students are expected to learn in a space they don't feel safe, they don't feel valued, they don't feel recognized. Some of that's internalized. We can get really deep into the psychology of it, but just the health impacts. We have all kinds of data. We have all kinds of information that some of the highest rates of teen suicide are from these excluded and harmed communities. This isn't okay for us to have this information and do nothing about it. So I'm applauding California schools for saying bye-bye to this teacher. it is this teacher's right to fight it. The school said, sorry, you got to go. And the quickest path of least resistance was, and here's some money so that you just go and do your thing away from children you are harming.
Right there. That is, you're doing harm. And the reality, yeah, public school, and I'll go back to really emphasizing this, you became a public school teacher. And when you decided to become a public school teacher, you then made, whether you want to say, well, I never signed anything that said that, you are making a pledge that all all who enter are going to be respected, dignified, and not harmed. All. You're a public school teacher. You don't have the right to be discriminatory, racist, bigoted. You don't, because that's harmful. You talk about this, you sit there and go, it's like, well, it's my religious right to not acknowledge your existence. You're like, okay, wait, if you're going to push that like that, then get out of public school teaching. Move, get out of here, man. You know, yeah, I guess you're right, though, John. You know, $360K to get rid of them. You know what, though? I would have liked to have just seen what I would rather, what happened in Montgomery County, Maryland, was a judge to say, you know what, teacher? No, your rights were not violated. You were violating your students' rights to safety, to an equal, a public education that doesn't harm you. No, teacher, the school district should have fired you. See ya. Bye-bye. Now I want to put the bye-bye in there, Johnny Lupinacci. That's how I would like to see the bye-bye. Bye-bye, no 360K, because you don't get 360K to cause harm. And now we're going to get rid of you. It's because, to me, the 360K by the judge was saying, well, you know, yeah, she was harmed. She was harmed. She was harmed because she was fired for wanting to practice harmful practices. That's the way I'm putting this in that way.
For sure, Tim, you have much more faith in our criminal injustice system. I'm just like, I see it as the district was like, you know what? We're not able to do this. And they probably had full support of the union, that this is the path of least damage moving forward. Let's go. I don't think it's sustainable. And again, I'll come back to, will as a community adjust? And I don't think this will be a case precedent setting thing that we're going to see as a trend in schools and teachers leaving.
It's busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education Tuesday, trending news. Yeah. Give us a call, though. We still got one more segment, 855-752-4842. Change the topic if you want. We'll come back, though. Teachers, public schools, you cannot do harm. We will stand by that. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Last week, Montgomery County judge does the right thing and says, parents, you cannot use religion to get out of being part of the inclusive community, your LGBTQ plus community members in public schools. No, you cannot opt out of that. You don't have a religious protection. Well, California this week says, teacher, you do have religious protection through the object to be able to say, I'm not going to affirm gender affirming. I'm not going to be a human. I'm not going to, you know, say this point. I'm not even going to acknowledge that LGBTQ plus people exist. I'm not going to do that because it's against my religion. We're sitting there going, Johnny, you know what? Here's the deal. Don't become a public school teacher, because, you know, the best thing about when you're a public school teacher, I know this, public school teachers, when they get an opportunity to talk about things like this, one of the best places we know in Madison to go and have these great discussions. You know where I'm talking about, Johnny, the Minocqua Brewery.
I do, Tim. I do. And you know what? I just, to back up a little bit on that, you know, I think this teacher who has made the choice, all behavior is a form of communication, has made the choice to exclude themselves or have themselves removed from being a teacher in schools. Mm. It came with some money, but I think that was more or less around their right to be bigoted and more around the most equitable way to just say bye today. like not like, hey, let's have you around for the rest of the school year. Let's figure out how to remediate this. This is non-remediated. This is something we cannot tolerate, and you have to go. And as a reason of that kind of inconvenience, There's, you know, the criminal injustice system will figure out what we got to pay. That's how it comes down. But yeah, speaking of the criminal injustice system and, you know, our friends at Minocqua Brewing Company who are duking it out in courts, right? But Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who they sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what it comes down to for me, and, you know, I kind of land on the optimist side of this, is I see this as a good news story because I see a school community drawing a line and saying, by any means necessary, we don't need to do any further harm to this person. They've made it really clear that they do not intend on supporting all of our students. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it really clear. You are not welcome as an educator in this school. And so, you know, does them saying that come at a cost? Well, the price tag currently we can report on is about $360,000. Mm. Now, you know, if I was a pessimist, I'd say, oh no, teachers everywhere are going to do this to get money. I don't think so. I think you cannot buy, right? You cannot purchase dignity from most teachers. And every teacher I know that has gone into teaching didn't go into teaching to get money. They're not going to go out of teaching to get money at the cost of going against the health and well-being of their students.
Well, but yeah, you know, and just some more facts here too. So here's the reality, quote, this teacher's religion requires her to love everyone, but not to affirm beliefs or behaviors that are antithetical to the word of God. And the district's requirements caused this teacher to suffer severe emotional anguish. The teacher suffered severe emotional anguish. And so, this is I know, John, I know where you're going, but just to hear this is to go, my goodness, really? This teacher was harmed. Their emotions were upset. They suffered severe anguish over the fact that they couldn't practice their religion of hate. They couldn't project their disdain for other human beings. They weren't allowed to do that because I wasn't allowed to be an idiot, a jerk, and I say, if this wasn't commercial radio, a whole lot of other things, I'm emotionally distressed and I'm just so upset right now. The only thing that's going to make this better is about $360,000. And then I will be restored to my humanity. I can go find a job in a private school and I can beat up on LGBTQ plus students in a private religious school where they acknowledge the word of God.
Well, Tim, I don't have enough facts to know this about this teacher. So I, with caution, say, you know, for me, it's as simple as, are you following best practices of what scientific consensus and, you know, and research on what supports the development of all children? If the answer is yes, then great. We need you, all hands on deck. Like, welcome to being a public educator. Welcome to our school systems. Welcome to working with young people and respecting their children's rights, right? As people in our community, you also have rights, but your rights cannot come at the expense of the children in our community. So you go, so bye, goodbye. And then, you know, it's off my plate. If that caused you anguish or anyone anguish, take that up in our criminal injustice system, as it sounds like this story has gone, you know, and figure out what that cost is. Part of me wants to be unsympathetic or, you know, have little to no empathy for this teacher, because come on, like our callers and our texts have expressed, people listening have said, all right, enough already, right? And we even had a song, you know, just queued up, make it stop. Mm-hmm. This is not new. This is not like information that came out last week and all of a sudden, whoa, all these teachers are expected to support students they don't understand, they don't know how to support. No, there is a clear message on how to support everyone in our community, things we can do to teach and to provide a safe space for all children to learn. And you know what? If you can't be on board with that, then you don't belong in our schools. And then that's off my plate. As an educated educator, That's up to the system now to decide what happens to you, but you're not welcome in this building. So
there you go. Well, I think that's, yeah, put it that way. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we don't, you know, and the thing is, we don't know what truly is in the teacher's heart, how much of the lawyers grabbed a hold of this and said, you know, we can make a lot of money and I'm going to take a third. And yeah, let's just go with it because, yeah, I can't imagine that any one teacher got into this with that type of moral conviction to say that in a public school, right? The reality there, dude. Tonight, though, educators amplified Johnny. Mindfulness create good behavior. Oh, my goodness. Can't wait to see you tomorrow night. Later, man.